So now let us enter into the forest and let the deep fragrance of cedar and fir and pine surround us. Breathe it in. In and out. Stop and breathe in the deep fragrance of cedar and fir and pine. What imaginings or memories does that bring up for you? Trees, especially evergreens like cedar and fir and pine, have always been important to me and an important part of my spiritual life. For me, the smells of cedar and fir and pine evoke memories of growing up at Girl Scout Camp Eagle Island. This is one of the main buildings at the camp. Eagle Island is a 32-acre island on Upper Saranac Lake, once the home of Levi Morton, Vice President to William Henry Harrison. This 32-acre island is a tree-covered haven in the middle of 6 million acres of forest that is the Adirondack Park, designated in 1885 and still by New York State law forever wild. On this island, children have played for many generations in the shelter of the tall pines, stepping over the roots of the trees that hold the soil to the rock below. We walked around the island on soft duff, decades of pine matter slowly, so very slowly decomposing. For it was on Eagle Island that I first learned to connect with nature, felt the awe of the trees when their massive boat figures, mast-like trunks and sail-like branches, waved in the ever-present wind. I felt safe holding onto tree branches when scrambling down a muddy mountainside. I learned to trust myself and my outdoor skills, using dead sticks and logs for fires that cooked our food, warmed our bodies, and provided light for community building sing-alongs. I was grateful for the long pine branches, silent guardians of the shore that sheltered us from the wind on the large open lakes that we canoed over. I felt then, and I still feel now, a real sense of physical and spiritual groundedness. And I feel a deep physical and spiritual longing to go back, to sit peacefully and breathe in the presence of those trees. 20 years ago, I took a class at the Unitarian Church in Montclair, New Jersey, called This I Believe. The credo statement that I crafted there affirmed that I find God and the presence that is larger than us in the natural world, as Alfie says, in the wind and the water and the wood. The belief that God is in nature is deeply rooted within me. For it was on Girl Scout Camp Eagle Island at age 13 that I first started to craft worship services. They were called Scout Zones, a Sunday evening vesper-like service of poems, reading, songs, and quiet time for reflection, centered around topics such as friendship. I found it easy and so soul-satisfying to put these services together. I enjoyed finding just the right words and songs to create a feeling or stir up a question among my fellow scouts. As I continued to attend Eagle Island year after year, I found myself starting not to choose to go to Catholic Mass at the local campground, as my parents, of course, expected. But instead, I got on the boat to Chapel Island, a one-acre island at the southern end of Saranac Lake, a small birch church owned by the New York Presbyterians. There, local and visiting ministers would gather along with the congregation that came by boat from the local campgrounds and homes around the lake. There was a beautiful birch cross on the altar, framed by large open windows that let in the gentle breezes and the sounds of lapping waves. While the Presbyterian order of service wasn't quite familiar to me as a Catholic, mostly I could find a connection in the hymns or the sermons if the preacher chose to bring in the awe and wonder of nature and the spirituality found there. As summers went by, and I joined the staff at Eagle Island, I had the opportunity to work with my fellow campers and staffs on Girl Scout Sundays. Full-length worship services held once a summer at Chapel Island, where we, the Girl Scouts, stepped in for the minister. I remember working with one staff member in particular, who was also raised a very staunch Catholic. Some suspected she might even end up a nun someday. She did not. She and I had deep discussions of the propriety of us as Catholics. Not just attending a Protestant church on any given Sunday, that was already a problem. But to consider actually leading the worship. This was heresy in the true meaning of the word. The rejection of a church dogma by a baptized member of the Roman Catholic Church, which I was and am a baptized member of the Roman Catholic Church. I was still choosing to cast aside this dogma that said I had to attend Mass every Sunday. Even more offensive to my Catholic faith, I had the gall to reject the dogma that said only priests lead worship, and to take up that role myself. Under the trees and by the lapping waves, I found that being raised to obey Roman Catholic Church dogma was not enough to keep me from answering the insistent call of crafting and leading worship. Although I didn't know it at the time, the small, still voice inside me was the beginning of a call to Unitarian Universalism. And it was enough to pull me from the safe path that included attending only Catholic Mass year-round, winter and summer. Although I will tell you, after the first summer at Eagle Island, I was careful not to tell my Catholic mother that I had attended Protestant church instead of going to Catholic Mass while I was at camp. To her credit, she didn't ask either. That didn't erase the guilt I felt, though, looking to another type of worship for spiritual fulfillment outside of my Catholic faith. When I reflect back on it, it wasn't just the distance of a summer camp 6 hours away from my suburban home in New Jersey that started me on the path to adulthood and spiritual maturity, but it was the very brave step of going to another place to worship, one where I could be in church and still be so close and connected to God among the nature, the water, and the trees. At Eagle Island, I found real strength, joy, and connection to God and Source, being out in nature, sitting under the watchful trees, putting together words for worship. I found there what Snoqualmie Tribal Chairman Robert De Los Angeles says of the Sammamish people. When reclaiming their sacred land at Snoqualmie Falls, he says that there is no separation between us and the sacred land. I still feel that call, the strength, the joy, and the connection to God out under the trees. Mike Shanahan asks us, in Why Do Forests Give You Awe? Can you remember a time when you first felt awe, that feeling of being in the presence of something immense and mind-blowing? The natural world with its domineering mountains, colossal trees, and tall waterfalls is one of its main sources. He goes on to tell us that in 2003, psychologists Dr. Keltner and Jonathan Haidt wrote that nature produced awe involves the sensed presence of a higher power. Natural objects that are vast in relation to oneself are more likely to produce awe. I have found that awe in the presence of God under and among the trees. I have found that in order to truly experience this awe and the presence of God under and among the trees, I need to slow down and be where I am, which is a challenge for me, and I would say probably many of us. Now, my wife Mary, loves to point out every interesting bird she sees. She loves birds. The eagles, the hawks, the osprey. But this is lovely, because in our wedding vows, we promise to share what beauty we might find. So I appreciate her sharing the beautiful birds with me. Sometimes. The problem is, by the time she says, there's a bird, she should have said, there was a bird. To me. By the time I shift my attention and look up, it's gone, of course. I never, ever see the birds. Still, she points them out in hopes of sharing this beauty with me. A few years ago, I took a class on conifers at the Wenatchee Valley College. I've always been fascinated, no surprise, by conifers and all kinds of evergreens. Spending summers in the Adirondacks, I was very comfortable with pine trees. I love to see their different shapes and sizes, and their different kind of cones, and how they change the direction of their branches, depending on which way the wind had blown them for many, many years. The first night, our instructor, Susan Ballinger, informed us that conifers were such an interesting and involved topic that we could easily take 10 years to study them. Well, that was a relief, because I love to learn and I am good at it. But, like many of you, and I can easily get overwhelmed by a wealth of information. 10 years seemed like a sufficient time for me to learn what I wanted to know about conifers, instead of just the 2 nights I would spend with her. Most importantly, Susan Ballinger said that the really good thing about studying trees is that they don't move. Not like the birds. So you could study a particular type of trees or tree, a group, and you would still find them there waiting for you. The next month, the next season, the next year. And for that, I am grateful. So why don't the trees move? Because tree roots connect to each other in what appears to be a social network, says Peter Wohlleben, forester, in his book, The Hidden Life of Trees. Wohlleben quotes Massimo Maffei from the University of Turin, who tells us that plants, including trees, are perfectly capable of distinguishing their roots from another tree, and even from trees they're not related to. And trees are tied together by a vast, intentional underground web called a mycelium, M-Y-C-E-L-I-U-M, mycelium, which allows the roots to communicate, to exchange nutrients, even with other trees not of their type. So they don't move, because they have an underground network that allows them to live in community together, communicating and sharing the water, humidity, and sunlight that ensures their survival. This way, trees can live long, hundreds and hundreds of years. Who knew? Maffei continues, appreciating and understanding trees may be a way of fully embracing something that is greater than ourselves, the interdependent web, expressed as the spirit of life, the ground of all being, the oneness of all existence, the community-forming power, the process of life, the creative force, yes, God, can help us develop that understanding of ourselves that we and our culture so desperately need. It is a source of meaning to which we can dedicate our lives. And so I come to you, to this pulpit, this day, a lay worship leader born from Roman Catholicism, from Eagle Island and Chapel Island, and now fully embracing Unitarian Universalism. And I say this source of meaning calls us to reflect, one, what it means to be human in a world filled with trees and other creatures that show us clear examples of community. So, raise your hand if you've ever been to the Powerhouse, or a march for immigrant rights, or perhaps climate change, or a fundraiser for the Humane Society. I know you've been there. Perhaps you heard our minister, the Reverend Laura Shenham, give the opening prayer for the Women's March. Or have you been to any other social justice event here in the Wenatchee Valley? Excellent. So whom did you find there? Who did you find there, Nancy? What did you find?
My neighbors.
Yes. Other Unitarians. Other members of Cascade Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Excellent. And were they happy to see you?
Yes.
There you go. Did they have hope that working together on this cause we could make a difference?
Yes.
Yes, they did. Excellent. Yes, indeed. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that we are much more likely to be hopeful when we have friends to rely on. And so we have here, if you will, a forest of human trees, like we had our readers, leaning on one another for hope and for strength. My friends, because we are a forest of human trees here, I say that we, the members and friends of Cascade Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, are the human mycelium, the intentional underground network supporting the human trees standing up for hope right here in the Wenatchee Valley and beyond. And like the tree roots that form a mycelium, we share with those whom we are and we are not related. We share a plate with many organizations, locally and nationally. We sit on nonprofit boards and volunteer countless hours to feed the hungry, house the homeless, keep the highway clean, help immigrants become citizens. We engage in civil conversations, and we educate our children and ourselves in best how to live out our 7 principles, both in here and out there. So my friends, I urge you this morning to keep on in action and in hope. Know now, deep in your soul, that this hope is what's in every one of us. And because hope is in each and every one of us, you are the mycelium for hope, right here, right now. Because you never know what tree, right next to you, or 2 rows back, needs the light or humidity or water that you can share. Or perhaps you are the tree in need. And remember, we are all human trees together. And so we pray that we too, like the trees, will live long together in faith. And so, my friends, as we look toward the longest night of the year and toward Christmas, let us have hope that the light will return from behind the trees. Let us slow down, stop, and breathe in the deep fragrance of cedar and fir and pine. Let us sense the awe and power of creation. Feel the majestic trees and the human trees around you, guarding you and supporting you and those in need, because you are not alone. My hope and prayer for each and every one of you is that this may be so this day and all days, my friends. Amen.
Amen.
So let's use the trees. Let's deck our halls with boughs of holly for our closing hymn. There you go.
La 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 la.
benediction today is from the Reverend Wayne Arneson. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard, the path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. Take courage, for deep down there is another truth. You are not alone. Now let us shake hands with your neighbor with a sincere greeting. You are not alone. And now may love be with you all. Please join me in the chalice extinguishing words as printed on your screens or in your order of service.
We extinguish the flame, but not the light of truth, or warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
Close enough. Let's join hands for our closing song.